Is that good? I genuinely can't tell if that's good.
G'day, what's up? It's Aiden Jones. You're listening to Sitting Under a Tree for Tuesday, the 2nd of April, 2024. I'm a day late. I apologize. I've had a bit of a week, man. I don't know. Something happened this week. I think the wheels kind of fell off a little bit. And I don't know. I read this book last year. I think I spoke about it, 4,000 hours. Nope, 4,000 weeks, about how you get 4,000 weeks in your life. And the guy was like a reformed productivity psycho, you know, one of these people who are like lists and how do you get the most out of every minute and second and micromanaging and fucking whatever. And I remember he said in the book that when you're operating at that kind of level, there's only two outcomes. Either you're just holding on and feeling like you're getting, you know, squeezing all this stuff in, or you're just a complete mess because you've missed all of these things and whatever. And I think in the last week, I think the last few weeks before that, I have felt like I'm just holding on. And then last week, fuck man, after that tour, when I got back, it might have even been, no, I recorded the pod on, I can't even remember. I guess I got back on Tuesday and recorded the pod, and Wednesday I gave myself food poisoning. It was completely fucked. These fucking meal kits that I get, man, I get them delivered every week. How's my tea doing? Oh, that's good. Oh, the perfect cup of tea and the time to drink it. Oh. These meal kits that I get them delivered, and every week it's like I just manage to cook all of them, but I do cook all of them. I rarely throw food out and it's good, you know, it forces me to cook. I like the food usually, whatever. But last week I should have cancelled some or like put it on a lower, like a fewer meals to get delivered, but I didn't. And so I ended up with just way surplus. And then I was still trying to cook the old ones. And on Wednesday I fucking cooked the beef that I'd got ordered like 10 days on the Saturday before, like 11 days. It was old beef, man. And I cooked it. And then I put it in my bag and I was in a rush. I cooked it in like fucking 20 minutes. And then I was in a rush and I just put it in my bag. And then like a few hours later, I ate it. And like it was old. I probably undercooked it. And then it was sitting in my bag for another few hours and I ate it. And within 2 hours, was it Wednesday? Fuck, maybe it was Thursday. No, it was Thursday. No, whatever fucking day it was. No, it was Wednesday. It was Wednesday. And I ate it. And then I was doing errands around the city. And within a couple of hours, I was like, oh, I don't feel so good. And I got on the tram to head home. And I made it to like about halfway to Berkeley Square. And I got out and I went to the bathroom there. And I lay on some grass for a little bit. And then I got back on the tram and I was still feeling sick. And I got to 2 stops away from my house and I got out and I just went. It was like the middle of the afternoon, must be like 6 p.m. or something. And I just went all down on all fours. And I fucking vomited 3 times all over the pavement on the side of Sydney Road. It was fucked up. And one lady was like, are you okay? And I was like, and some guy just like stepped over me. And then another lady, this Arab lady, called out from her car. Like she was like standing next to her car on the side of the road. She was like, I hate vomit. I'm sorry, but do you want a date? As in like the fruit, not like, do you want to go out for a drink? One person on my Instagram said that. I posted on my Instagram that I got food poisoning and an Arab lady offered me a date. And someone was like, did you say yes? I was like, what are you... Like, yeah, okay, I get it, the same word, but surely you don't actually think that I was vomiting on the side of the road and someone, and I said offered me a date, not asked me if I wanted to go on a date. Surely you're not, you know what a date is. You fucking, oh my God, that person, I can't even remember who it was, but if it's you and you're listening, you are dumb. You're just a oi, oi, oi. But yeah, man, it was rough. And then I was still, I just wouldn't accept. And I've spoken to a few friends about this in the last, like, even before I got food poisoning, about how I've been leaving the food that I cook in my bag all day and then eating it. And I've been like, it's fine. And you know what? I think I am ready to accept that it's not good practice to have food sitting in your bag all day. Yeah, I think I'm ready to just admit that I was wrong. And I've learned my lesson, I hope, to some extent. I think I've been getting away with it. And I think the quality of some of the shits that I've been doing would attest to that, that maybe my gut has been running at pretty fucking close to the wire at times, you know, but I've not been feeling bad. But my body maybe has been trying to tell me, hey, dude, maybe you should put your food in the fridge when you cook it rather than just leaving it in your bag all day. I don't know, man. Maybe I'll get one of those ice, like, lunch boxes, you know, to, like, then you can put ice packs in it and then it keeps your food cool. I don't fucking know. I got to figure out a solution because I'm not doing that. I got the fear in me now because I was sick for like 24 solid hours and then fragile for another 3 or 4 days. And I had to go. So I was sick Wednesday night through Wednesday day. Did I do anything on Wednesday night? I cancelled work on Thursday. I was supposed to do removals. I cancelled that. Stayed in bed all day. Cancelled what I had to do Thursday night. And I went to one show that I had tickets for. And then I went and slept at the depot at work to do a tour. And I did a tour on Good Friday of the Great Ocean Road. And I was very fragile for that day. Saturday, just stayed in most of the day. And then I did a tour on fucking Easter Sunday of the Grampians, which was just so hectic, man. There were so many people everywhere. And it was hot. And I still hadn't really got my appetite back. It was just stressful. There was just a lot of stressful stuff going on. But I think I'm back, you know. Monday and Tuesday I had days off and I had some lovely times. I went and saw the Melbourne Symphony Orchestra last night, play some Bach and Vivaldi and one other composer who I'd never heard of. And that was wonderful. Got some ramen. Monday went with a mate and got went to Juju's to get sandwiches. It's all been about food for the last week. I feel like that, maybe that like getting food poisoning was just the reset that I needed, you know, because I think I've just, like even actually right now, I think for the first time since the food poisoning, I just feel so good. I had work today doing removals. And we had a nice drive, but I didn't get that much sleep last night. I had a bit of a late one after the MSO and then dinner and just hanging out a bit. Got home, got to bed just after midnight to wake up at 6:40 and go to work. So I was still feeling tired this morning, but the work was like there was some good work in the morning and then we just went for a long drive and it was out to the country. Man... Went to a bakery for lunch today and you know when you encounter someone in a workplace where you're like, you're incompetent and all of your workmates fully hate you. And like I could see that at one point one of her workmates made eyes at me to be like, yeah, she's an idiot. I know. I'm sorry. I go in there. We went to this lovely bakery in the country. I won't say which one because it was a really nice bakery and it was just this one staff member was fucking just had no idea. She had a big brow on her. I don't know what that means, you know? I don't know. She just, there was some, the brow, like, of hanging over the eyes, and the eyes were just, like, made the eyes really dark, and it was just like, what's going on with this person? I don't know. Something about her face. There was just a darkness to it. That's a, such a mean thing. That is a profoundly mean. She just was like a cloud, you know? That's essentially what I'm saying. I don't know, man. There was something about her. But I wouldn't have said that when I walked in there. It was just after experiencing interactions with this person. So it was a nice bakery, and I get my sandwich. I was like, oh, give me that sandwich with the corned beef. And then I'm at the register, and we got tipped by a customer, $50, a $50 note. So I'm like, to my boyfriend for the day, I was like, let me spend the 50, split it, and then I'll give you your 25 out of the change. So I get the sandwich, and then I'm like, I'll get one of these little bickies, and can I get a pot of tea as well, please? And I was like, what kind of teas do you have? And she goes, English breakfast. And I'm like, is that it? And she's just like, looks kind of confused, and she's like, yes. And I'm like, okay, there's no other teas? Because I just don't believe that English breakfast is the only tea. Places have other teas. And to be fair to her, there weren't that many options. But she goes over and she's like, oh, there's also lemon and sencha. And in my head, I'm like, well, that's lemongrass. Oh, no. And she goes, yeah, and green tea. Lemon and green. And I'm like, it's lemongrass, but whatever. There's something about her that I was like, why didn't you tell me that the first time, you know? That's annoying. But still, I'm like, well, that's just, this person's a dick, but it's nothing against the place, or I don't know. Then when she goes to give me my change, I'm like, can I get, this is a 50, can I get like a part of the change? Can I get a 20 and a 5? And I'm like, how much is it? And she goes, it's 18. I'm like, great. Can I get a 20 and 2 fives, please? And she gives me the 20 and 2 fives, and then she starts giving me like, she gives me like another 30. And I'm like, as I tell this story, I'm realizing it's not that bad and she's not that incompetent, but the look that her workmate, who was like, I reckon the boss, gave me, told me everything I needed to know. So she gives me the 20 and 2 fives, and then she gives me at some point a $2 coin, and I'm like, that's all the change. Then she gives me a 20 and a 10, and I'm like, no. And she put all like 2 20s or something like that. And she puts it all on the counter. And I'm like, no, I've got everything I need. And she goes, okay, and takes it back. Then she's counting out more like tens. She goes to put them on the counter. And I'm like, what are you doing? And she's like, you gave me a 50. I'm like, yeah, and the 18, and I've got 32. So we're sweet. And she's like, okay. And then she's counting out. It's like she's not listening at all. She's answering a question in her head that no one asked. And then this older lady who's the boss comes over and like just holds her hand. And she's like, it's done. It's all sorted. And she's just like kind of looking at the floor, like just going like, okay, the thing, you know, like nothing's changed. Like there's been no input, and there's no like, oh, sorry, or like recognition of like, you know, there was no laugh or like, oh, whoopsie. It was just her going like, put some money back in. And then the older lady looked at me to be like, ugh. I mean, in the first instance, I'm like, I'm annoyed as a customer that you can't do your job. But in the second instance, I'm like, boy, do I understand being the person at a place working there and just feeling so behind the eight ball, and like I just can't put a foot right, that I don't even feel comfortable apologizing to someone for a mistake that I've made. Because, you know, I think of this Greek place I used to work at on Swan Street, where it was like, I would make so many mistakes in a shift that after a while, it's like, I feel like if I admit to another mistake or apologize, the boss is just going to turn to me and be like, shut up. Like, I don't even have enough credit in the bank to admit that I've made a mistake. So I'm just going to walk away from this situation. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. But there was three of them there. And it's like, there were like, you know, cups and plates on the tables. And I was like, if there's three people working at like a good speed here, these tables are clear. And the fact that they're not says to me that one of you guys with a big fucking cloud over your face is not pulling your weight in this venue. Anyway, why am I bitching about that person? It was a lovely sandwich, a lovely biscuit, a lovely tea. And I would like to thank the good people down at Boo Bakery for their hospitality and beautiful service today. Thank you. I don't know, man. I don't know what it is that I feel now finally like I've got my soul back. Something, I think I left my soul on the pavement next to that Arab lady's car on Sydney Road on Wednesday afternoon, man. I really do. Like, I'm so sorry if you hate vomit, because it is gross, but you know, the feeling of it and the taste of it in your mouth, the acidity and just like the feeling of it coming up, it just stays with you, man. I brushed my teeth so many times afterwards and, oh man, I was having like fever dreams as well. I was in bed because I had worked at the bar. That's right, because I was still stressed. I hadn't really got past the stress of the 3-day tour and like feeling like I'd let those people down from last week, you know, and like the stress of like having been thrown into the deep end with those people and the tour and then driving the bus back to Melbourne and I don't know, just all of that. I didn't feel like I really had a moment to kind of alleviate that stress. And then on Wednesday, like, what was I fucking doing on Wednesday that I had no time? I remember it, when I cooked that food, I remember being like, I literally have 20 minutes to cook the food here. That's right. I woke up at like 9. I got home from the tour and I just kind of unpacked my bags and did my thing in the evening. Maybe I recorded the podcast. And then I woke up at like 9 and I had to leave at fucking 12 to go be on the radio with my friend in Brighton. Which, by the way, I told the story about Hector Berlioz and Marie Pleyel and, you know, the marriage and him coming back and wanting to kill everyone. I told that story on the radio. It was sick. My friend Bronny has a radio show on Brighton local community radio and she's interviewing comedians about the comedy festival and she's also a pianist. And so, oh my God, she told me this fucking crazy story on the air. How nuts is this? I'm kind of sad that I never got to go to the conservatory and like study piano seriously and, you know, have all the time to just play every day and practice and whatever. But also she told me this story about this teacher who she had, who was just an asshole and she hated it. She said the first lesson she had with him, he goes, all right, learn the first two Chopin etudes, which is incredibly difficult repertoire to learn. And he goes, bring it back to me next week and we'll work on it. So she learns these first two etudes in a week, practicing 12 hours a day, which sounds like a dream, to be honest, to be able to just play. Oh my God, that just sounds wonderful. But she's under this pressure from this guy. And she learns one of them, the first one's 12 pages. She learns the first 10 pages off by fucking heart in a week, right? And she takes them back to this guy, plays them for him, and he just goes, ugh, I knew we shouldn't have let you in. You fucking hack. He called her a hack. For learning some of the hardest repertoire out there in a week and fucking, you know, 85% of it off by heart. Yeah. hack. Hack is such a strong word too. I don't know what constitutes hacky piano playing. I'm sure the piano playing that I do is the fucking epitome of, yeah. Anyway, brutal, brutal stuff, right? But so I was like, just in my morning, I was just like, I didn't even give myself the fucking morning to relax. I had Wednesday off work and I just filled it with stuff. I had that on the other side of the city, and then I had a call with a guy to discuss marketing stuff, and then I had a rehearsal for the small part that I'm doing in my friend Ben Hunter's show at the comedy festival, and then I don't know if I had anything else on, but like I didn't give myself any time, and I fucking had to plan, you know. So in the morning I was like, well, I'll play a bit of piano and I'll do fucking whatever. I've got 3 hours to enjoy myself. And so I had 20 minutes to cook the food before I was going to be late, to be late, to be late for all of this stuff. So I just put all this pressure on myself, and then I made myself sick. And I think now, after a week, I think now I finally feel better. I think the podcast this week is going to be, I left my soul. Yeah, I'm not even going to write it down anymore. I'm just going to be writing it in the notes. I left my soul on the sidewalk of Sydney Road. I left my soul. Fuck. I left my soul on the Sydney Road. No. I left my soul on Sydney Road. Oh, you can't edit. Why can't... you can't edit messages that you send yourself. That's fucking bullshit. I left my soul on Sydney Road. I'm going to rewrite it. I left my soul on Sydney Road. I left my soul on Sydney Road. Doo, 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 doo. That sounds like the start of a nice country song, doesn't it? You know what song I'm going to put at the end of the podcast this week? Alabama Pines. I wanted to put it at the end of the podcast last week, but I forgot. I can't remember why. Maybe it's because I was losing my fucking mind. But I'll put it there this week. I was reading about this guy last week who, it's Jason Isbell in the 400 unit. Listen to these lyrics. Well, I moved into this room, if you could call it that, a week ago. I never do what I'm supposed to do. Hardly even know my name anymore. When no one calls it out, it kind of vanishes away. Tell us, Jason. And I can't get to sleep at night. The parking lot's so loud and bright. The AC hasn't worked in 20 years. Probably never made a single person cold. But I can't say the same for me. I've done it many times. Somebody take me home through those Alabama pines. Oh, man. And what I love about this song is he's telling a story, right? But he doesn't really tell you what the story is about. I moved into this room, if you could call it that. It's like a shit... that's so good. I moved into this room, if you could call it that. It's like, okay, your life's fallen apart about a week ago. Great. Hardly even know my name anymore. When no one calls it out, it kind of vanishes away. You're alone. You're living in a shit room and you're alone. Right. And I can't get to sleep at night. The parking lot's so loud and bright. The AC hasn't worked in 20 years. Probably never made a single person cold. But I can't say the same for me. He's talking about the shit room. And then suddenly he's like, I don't like myself. I've made a lot of people feel cold in my life. Wow. Let's continue, right? You can't drive through Talladega on a weekend in October. Just head up north to Jacksonville, cut around and over. Watch your speed in Boiling Springs. They ain't got a thing to do. They'll get you every time. He's talking about the area, about the country. He knows it really well. Somebody take me home through those Alabama pines. More, somebody take me home through those Alabama pines. And musical interlude, blah, blah, blah. If we pass through on a Sunday, better make a stop at Wayne's. It's the only open liquor store north, and I can't stand the pain of being by myself without a little help on a Sunday afternoon. Well, I needed that damned woman like a dream needs gasoline, and I tried to be some ancient kind of man, one that's never seen the beauty in the world, but I tried to chase it down, tried to make the whole thing mine. Somebody take me home through those Alabama pines. Ah! It's like the further we go into this story that we don't really know what the story's about, we understand first why he's telling the story, which is that he's sad and alone. And then here, well, I needed that damned woman. It's about a woman. I mean, of course it's about a woman. He's lost his woman. And it's because he blames himself, you know? Oh, and even here, if we pass through on a Sunday, he's reminiscing. Better make a stop at Wayne's. It's the only open liquor store north. But I can't stand the pain of being by myself. He's alone. He was reminiscing for a second. But now I'm by myself and I hate being by myself. I can't stand the pain of being by myself without a little help on a Sunday afternoon. And it's Sunday and he's from the South. There's connotations of religion, you know, on a Sunday afternoon. Maybe he went to church and then and now he's just alone. And this here, well, I needed that damned woman like a dream needs gasoline. Now that, I think that is incredible writing because a dream, of course, doesn't need gasoline in the metaphorical sense or in the literal sense. Like that's not even the right metaphor to use. A dream and gasoline don't go together, but you know he's talking about a fire. I just, for some reason in this writing, it just assumes that you fucking get it. I was gesticulating so wildly then that, you know, when on my phone, if you double tap the back of the phone, it takes a screenshot. And I threw my phone down so wildly and gesticulated when I said, he understands that you get it, that my phone just took a screenshot. Oh, I needed that damned woman like a dream needs gasoline. And I tried to be some ancient kind of man, one that's never seen the beauty in the world, but I tried to chase it down, tried to make the whole thing mine. He's like, I tried to pretend that I didn't care, you know? But then when I saw the beauty, I couldn't pretend and I tried to chase it down and I tried to fucking own it all, you know? And it didn't work. It didn't work. Whatever the fuck I was trying to do, it didn't work. Somebody take me home. Please, somebody take me home through those Alabama pines. Well, I've been stuck here in this town. There's another musical interlude, blah, 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 blah. Well, I've been stuck here in this town, if you could call it that, a year or two. I never do what I'm supposed to do. I don't even need a name anymore. When no one calls it out, it kind of vanishes away. No one gives a damn about the things I give a damn about. The liberties that we can't do without seem to disappear like ghosts in the air. We don't even care, we don't even care. It kind of vanishes away. I don't know. I think the last lyric is wrong there. Disappear like ghosts in the air. Even care. It kind of vanishes away. And at the end there, maybe he's talking about America. I didn't even realize that, but he literally might be talking about America. So what do we got at the start? He's telling a story, and the reason he's telling a story is because he's upset. And his life has fallen apart. And then as we go on, we understand that it was a woman, and he messed it all up. And then at the end here, no one gives a damn about the things I give a damn about. Liberties that we can't do without seem to disappear like ghosts in the air. We don't even care. It kind of vanishes away. It's like I think he might be talking about America. I don't even care if he's not. I fucking love it, man. I fucking love this shit. So, and it's just so singable, man. You'll love it. I'm going to play it at the end of this podcast this week. And I think that might be the end of the podcast coming up. What photos have I got here? I fucking... there's a photo that I sent my boss because I reversed the bus into a fucking parked truck. On Easter Sunday after just working the longest day and like washing the bus and whatever, I was just reversing it in the depot, just reversed it straight into the it didn't even go bang. I just felt the thing go doot. I was like, cool. That's the photo for this week. Fuck yeah, dude. 100%. I reckon that's the podcast for this week, man. Yeah, that's it. Just a photo of the fucking back corner of the bus. God damn it. The podcast this week is called I Left My Soul on Sydney Road. And I really hope you enjoy this song at the end of the podcast this week. It is Alabama Pines by Jason Isbell and the 400 Unit. Sorry it was late this week. You guys, thank you very much for listening. I love ya. This has been Aidan Jones, sitting under a tree. Peace.
Well, I moved into this room, if you could call it that, a week ago. I never do what I'm supposed to do. Hardly even know my name anymore. When no one calls it out, kind of vanishes away. I can't get to sleep at night. Parking lot so loud and bright. The AC hasn't worked in 20 years. Probably never made a single person cold. But I can't say the same for me. I've done it many times. Somebody take me home. Drive through Talladega on a weekend in October. Just head up north to Jacksonville. Cut around and over, watch your speed fall in spring. They ain't got a thing to do, they'll get you every time. Somebody take me home. Through those Alabama pines. Somebody take me. Damn about the things I give a damn about.